This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network, coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio on this Feel Good Friday. In October, we still have both our baseball teams playing. Tonight could be the last night for the Mets. I'm really hoping it's not. I will be there, and I'm hoping there's one more magical night at Citi Field, and then you go back to L.A., and anything can happen. If you want to do glass half full, it's very easy to do that. You know, David Peterson has been great for them. Jack Flaherty wasn't as good previously in the postseason as he was in Game 1 against the Mets, so maybe you get to him. All right, you know, backs up against the wall. Can't manufacture desperation. Mets end up winning this one, go back to L.A., got Manaea on the mound against a bullpen game. You won that already, that matchup, in Game 2. Now, all of a sudden, you force a Game 7. It's 3-3 in the series. You know, in a Game 7, you toss everything out. Anything can happen. So, there's your glass half full. Glass half empty is then getting the snot kicked out of them. They're clearly the better baseball team. And it feels like you can't stop them from scoring, and you can't score on them. So, things have to change in a big way tonight.
You know, we always talk about body language. We always talk about watching players and managers and coaches, how they carry themselves on the field, the ice, the hardwood. We can see whether or not a guy gets down, whether it be like, say, Julius Randle, for instance, when he was playing for the Knicks. We could always tell when he was mad.
Yeah.
We could always tell when he was disgusted, and we can always tell when he was ticked off at an official, not getting a call. But you know why? Because he would... Early on, when he was here, he would stay underneath the offensive basket and not get back on defense.
Yeah.
And you could tell. We could tell that there was an issue with Rob Saller and Aaron Rodgers. We could see that 3 weeks ago on the sideline. You could see it from the fact that they didn't have any interaction with each other during the game, which is so bizarre to me. So we tell a lot about that, and we look at that. And what I see when I look into the Mets dugout these last two games specifically are guys that are frustrated, that look almost to me like they're accepting of defeat. And I hate to say that because I don't believe that this team has that. They've lost whatever they had, whatever it was, the confidence, the feeling like they could get it done. These last two games in particular, what I've seen is pitchers that don't want to throw strikes. I've seen base running gaffes. I've seen fielding gaffes. I've seen guys strike out. I've seen guys locked up. I've seen guys looking like they're shocked and they've been punched right in the face. And they're just looking with that blank stare late in these games.
When they get down 2 runs, 3 runs, 4 runs, that's when I start to see it. I don't see it from the beginning of the game. I see it when it's like, oh my God, here we go again. They're just knocking us around. That's when I start to see it, and it looks more like a low energy. But I expect them to come out and be energized in the beginning, and I believe in David Peterson starting this game.
And this way you got to look at it. I mean, like they have got to get some sort of momentum going if they're going to win this game.
Yep.
And hopefully David's going to be on point. He's been on point all year. He's been great. And I'm glad that they're starting him, at least giving him an opportunity to start in this situation. And I do trust him, actually. I really do.
And it'll be interesting to see the carryover, if any, from the game yesterday between the Yankees and the Guardians, if this really breathes life into the Guardians or the Yankees just continue to mash and be the better team and move on to the World Series in 5. You know, that's certainly a way to jumpstart a professional sports team in the way that the Guardians did it
last night in just absolutely crazy and dramatic fashion. And these two guys who haven't pitched in a month for both teams, you don't know what the hell to expect.
If that was a tipping point.
Tipping point.
Last night.
Was it a tipping point spot?
Was it a tipping point spot? If it was a tipping point spot, boy, I would. I hate to be around here next week.
Oh my!
I can tell you that if things don't go the way that we all, well, I've certainly expected this since the middle of August. So.
Certainly.
Yes.
Jordan in Yorktown. What's going on, Jordan?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Perfect segue why I was calling. Gio, big issue with you, specifically yesterday. Yesterday you were saying you were painting the field for the World Series on Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
I wanted to jump through the phone. Not only, you know, the only reason why it really bothered me is because never in a million years would you say that about the Mets. If the Mets were up 2-0 in any circumstance, you would never say, let's paint Citi Field for the World Series.
But Jordan, you understand that's a respect thing to the Yankees because Let me finish. The Yankees usually get it done. Like, they've won more World Championships than anybody, whereas the Mets seem to get tripped up in these situations. So that's why. And by the way, they still very well could not come back and play game 6 and 7 at Yankee Stadium in the ALCS. They could win the next two very easily.
That's true. Allow me to respond to that. The Yankees haven't been automatic, and I'm a Yankee fan. They haven't been automatic in 30 years. So to say they always pull it through and they always get it done, in 30 years, it's been the late 90s since they've been automatic. So for you to say,
they won in 2009.
Well, that's one championship since the late
90s.
One
more than I've seen in my entire life as a Mets
fan. Well, that's different, but you're saying it's automatic. They should paint the field. I'm just saying it was a little bit of touching the money. You wouldn't do that with the Mets. Well, please don't do it with the Yankees. We're far from that team that we were with Jeter and such.
Right. Listen, and I appreciate you, Jordan, for making the call. But first of all, nothing I say or anybody says has anything to do with the outcome of these games. Like, you just have to understand that. It doesn't exist. That's just ridiculous stuff that you put out into the world. Does that have nothing to do with how the games play out? And to me, the Guardians, they looked miserable in the first couple of games, and it took a miracle for them to win the game yesterday. So I still think the Yankees are going to the World Series. I don't know why you're getting on me for one thing I've said about the Yankees going to the World Series when Boomer's been saying for months that they're going to the World Series.
Well, why are you dragging me into this?
Because!
I mean, don't drag me into it just to drag me into it. I mean, I've steadfastly believed that the Yankees are going, and I've said they're such a good team that they could do it without a legitimate third baseman, or like last night, a legitimate first baseman, or a team that doesn't even know how to run the bases. I mean, that's how good a team they are.
Yeah.
They can actually give up outs, like, just randomly when they don't know how to run the bases.
Right.
So, therefore, if you are the Dodgers or the Mets, and maybe, you know, I still believe the Yankees are going to make it to the World Series, and you get ready to play the Yankees, you got to work on your rundowns.
Yeah, certainly.
It's a big thing. It's a big, because they almost screwed it up yesterday. The Indians almost screwed it up yesterday.
The Guardians.
I'm the Guardians.
Yeah.
Oh, God. And then, but that's the point. I mean, they're going to be a bunch of rundowns because they don't know how to run the bases. You could steal third base all day long because poor Chaz Chisholm is hanging out over there, not really sure where to stand and what to do. Although I got to say, for a guy who has ever played third base, he's done okay.
Yeah.
He's been fine. He's had his moments. And then, you know, you got John Birdie over there at first place, you know, with that big glove. You know, and the ball gets hit to him. Like, the ball finds these guys.
Right. You know, and
that's how good they are.
That's how good they are. Yeah. And, there was something else I was going to say, but I totally forgot because you were pounding your fist like that.
I got distracted. Okay.
There's something about that, like, meat sound that was got me distracted.
You call that a meat sound?
It sounds like you're slapping meats.
Slapping meat.
Let's go to Les in Rockland County. What's going on, Les?
Hey, Gio, I'm so happy that you have changed your tune because yesterday you sounded like a little biatch, right? Just worrying about being at that game tonight. And today it's a totally different vibe from you. And listen, we have playoff baseball from both teams in October. We should be thankful for that. And if they win or lose, you'll be there. You'll be with your mom. It'll be great.
Yeah, Les, and the way I look at it is I have to apply some of what I've learned over the last decade or so to this particular situation. I can't fully regress. And what's the point of dreading what happens? Because then you're just going to ruin all the other hours. Then you don't know what the outcome is. Like, so let's say the Mets do win tonight, and I sit here from now until when I go to the game dreading that they're going to lose, and the Dodgers celebrate on the field, and then the Mets win, and I'm like, wow, I just wasted an entire day feeling like crap when I didn't need to. So I'm not going
to
do it.
And plus, it is a feel-good Friday. Let's go to Dan in Mount Olive. Dan, what's happening?
Morning, boys. How we doing?
Hi, Dan. Good.
Great.
How are you?
What's going on?
I'm doing wonderful. Another day here at the poo plant. Listen, you guys, a couple segments ago, we're talking about stuff you guys say on the air that kids shouldn't hear, and it's the parents' fault, and I get it. My son's teacher, ironically, called early this week. He's in second grade, and they're doing basic math. And she said every time he comes to 9 plus 6 or 9 minus 6 or any combination, he just says 69 over and over.
69!
And over.
Oh, no.
He also, no. Every time he spits, he's a baseball player, he does haka.
No, no. Oh, no. On. Oh, no. You can't blame that one on us. That was everywhere.
Well, he listens to you guys in the morning. I bring him to school every morning, so it's only hearing it.
How old again? Did you say how old?
He's 7. He's in second grade.
Oh, no.
You know what? He's good.
And then
the last thing is
me and my wife, when we talk about people, you know, our friends having kids, he every single time says, bing, bang, boom, she's pregnant.
Well, listen, Dan, that's very funny, and I'm glad.
Yeah, we definitely have an effect on Dan's life.
Right. I'm glad that there is we're having an influence there. Whether it be positive or negative, we're influencing lives. Yeah. You know, I was told by someone that their neighbors named their baby after me. And this is the truth. And I said, no, come on. But apparently they did. So Frenchie's neighbor there in Bellport, it's a couple, and they go to all our events, and they're diehard fans of the show, and they had a baby boy, and they named it Gio. I'm not kidding. And I was like, that
Jesus,
can't be.
You would think you'd do for a dog.
Right, yeah, right. Well, like, yeah, people did that for you many times.
Oh, yeah.
You know how many 100%. Boomer dogs were in Cincinnati in the 80s? Oh, my
awesome.
God.
Yes.
Right, so, yeah. So I was flattered.
Baby Gio.
I was flattered by that. Yeah, absolutely.
You should be flattered by
absolutely
that.
Flattered.
I mean, but they named him Gio.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wow.
Yeah.
What, do you know the whole name? I'm like, does he have a middle name?
I don't.
Oh, okay.
I can ask. But
just know, it's not a nickname. It's a real name. It's
no,
on
name.
His birth certificate is Gio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't believe him at first. And I was like, come on. That's insane. And he's like, no, I'm going to talk to him again just to make sure. And he sent me a text. He goes, no, absolutely confirmed that they did that. So hopefully they're at Boomer and Gio.
Terrible
Live.
Idea.
Hopefully they're at Boomer and Gio Live. I'm sure we've met them before. I don't, you know. So
right.
Say, and they bring little baby Gio to the paradise.
Let's go to Chris at Smithtown. Chris, what's happening,
hey,
brother?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys, what's going on? Gio, right. I'll be at the game tonight, too, so maybe I'll run into you again. That'll be pretty funny.
Yeah, I know. I've run into Chris many times. I saw him at the casino at Davis Park, which is the name of a bar, not an actual casino over Fire Island, and at the Tap Room in Huntington. So me and Chris tend to be in the same place at the same time. So hopefully it's a good one tonight, Chris.
Hopefully, definitely. But I just want to touch on the Jets. I mean, this concern about this team, I kind of feel like this thing is going to unravel. I just feel like they have more issues than just having Devontae Adams with the penalties, stopping the run. It almost seems like when Mosley's in the lineup, they struggle with the run. I don't know if there's a correlation there, but what do you guys think the odds are if they do miss the playoffs that they do roll it back with Rodgers again now that they have Devontae Adams?
Well, Devontae Adams' contract is really...
Well, they're going to have to redo the contract.
Right.
That's the other thing. They did actually do something with the contract. They gave him a signing bonus to make it fit within the salary cap this year. You know, and by the way, you know, teams make more money later in the NFL season. And that's one of the reasons why these signing bonuses come now. They're more flush with cash right now.
Mm,
and
it.
So that's the business side of the ledger. But... You know, it'd be really interesting. I think it all depends on what this looks like.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if they go like nosediving and this thing unravels, like either Chris or Troy Aikman thinks it may, It's going to be ugly.
Yeah, but let's say they go on a four-game winning streak to end the season. Everything looks great, but they still miss out on the playoffs and they're 9-8 or 8-9. Then maybe you run it back. It
all depends on whether or not Aaron Rodgers wants to come back for another year. I would think it sounds like he does, and I would think that if Devontae's here, you got to believe that he told Devontae, yeah, I want to play a couple more years. You know, I'd like to do something special in New York, and if we could do it together, that would be great. So I could see that part of the conversation happening with those two guys.
Mm.
Don't you think back to that golf tournament? Can't wait to play with Devontae again.
Yeah, no, I know. Trust me. I know you're right about all that stuff. I just, for him to make it through 17 games.
Right, I know it's not easy. You're right. I mean, that is a definite 100% legitimate concern.
I wouldn't be concerned if he wasn't taking as many hits as he is. I mean, he's taking a lot of hits.
But part of that obviously is him. You know, and maybe I'm just hoping that Devontae has I don't know what kind of effect he can have in the short term, like this week, in terms of on the practice field and watching players and how he and Aaron look at things. I think it's going to take a couple games where they have some film study where they can sit down and say, this is why we did what we did here, and then this will have a positive effect on everybody else. Although I think Alan Lazard is already there. He gets it.
Yeah. Let's go to Alberto in Brooklyn. What's going on, Alberto?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
All right, Alberto. What's happening, Alberto?
It's an honor to talk to you both. I've been listening for a long, long time. Finally, I wanted to get through today because Aaron Boone, can you guys talk about Aaron Boone's ability to have this team mentally prepared after what, let's face it, was a devastating loss last night? And, you know, they call it a gut punch type of loss. I think after having Judge and Stanton hit those two home runs, they probably heard us in Cleveland screaming in New York, a collective scream that shook the whole city, because that's what we've been waiting for out of these two guys together like this. It was a defining moment for both of them again in the playoffs. But can Aaron Boone get the team ready for tonight's game? And I'm wondering if you guys can look up to see under Aaron Boone's managerial time with the Yankees, how many times the Yankees have come back to win a game after suffering a walk-off loss in any series.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting one.
But I'll do that.
Al's got that contact with Elias. Yes. You send that over to Elias. Maybe we'll get it by 10 a.m. Because Al's got that direct line into the Elias Sports Bureau.
Aaron Boone did everything right last night. I mean,
but his criticism.
I understand. I know what his criticism is. But Weaver last night had two outs and nobody on in the ninth inning.
Mm. Yeah. Right. You can't argue with anything Aaron Boone's done in this series to this point, in my opinion. But I don't know how to really answer Alberto's question, because none of us are in there listening to Aaron Boone talk to the team before these games. But, you know, one of the knocks on the Aaron Boone Yankees for many years is that there's this sort of ho-hum, kind of, let's just go through the season, very even-keeled feeling about it, and he doesn't push the right buttons in key situations emotionally to get his team ready. But, I mean, don't you think that, like, Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Gleyber Torres has actually been hitting in the postseason? These guys need to figure that out themselves?
Yeah.
Do they really need another grown man in that dugout to inspire them to win ALCS games?
And by the way, both pitchers haven't pitched in 3 weeks. It's going to be interesting today what happens. And we all know that it's going to come down to the bullpens in the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings.
You know, it's funny. It's like these guys haven't pitched in 3 weeks, but they're on a low pitch count. Like, when you think that they haven't pitched in 3 weeks, they should be able to throw 200 pitches. That's not the way it works, for whatever reason. It's like, hey, they haven't pitched in a while, so we're going to keep them to like 50 pitches.
Yeah, but it's not like they've been sitting around doing nothing. They have bullpen
sessions. I agree.
Sessions.
It just doesn't make any sense to me. It's like, well, how far is this guy going?
I'll tell you what, if Luis Gil goes out there and he's, you know, throwing a no-hitter for 5 innings and he's got 75 pitches, I'm leaving him out there.
You will.
Like, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
But you know what's going to happen.
Analytics geeks
coming. They're going to have that iPad out and the geek squad's going to get involved. And it's going to be like, ooh. You know, we're going to go around for the third time in the order. And here comes Naylor. And you know what Naylor does in the seventh inning and the third time in the order and this, that,
with
and the other
with thing. With a full moon and a high tide.
Christ. Yeah. Just let the guys, if the guy is going, I let him in there. I keep him in there.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the fan.
You know the moment that Canely put that guy on? Bring, he's coming out.
Get out of here.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Nice to see Jose Iglesias get back involved.
Maybe get involved with the bat, maybe?
Yeah, exactly. Man,
this was a guy
who hit over 400 at Citi Field and over a 1,000 OPS throughout the season, and he's flailing. They got a base hit early on in the game last night, muscled one off his hands between third and short, ground ball base hit, but he's just has not been the same.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that about a lot of guys. You could say about Lindor in this series as well.
Sure.
Pete Alonso, you feel like he doesn't do much.
Anything, really.
I mean, yeah. Vientos is the only guy who gets up, and you're like, okay, maybe something can happen here. Well, Lindor, you still feel that about. But in this series, at least, you haven't. So, yeah, it's going to be a good night.
I hope you're right.
It's going to be a good night. No matter what happens, it's going to be a good night. Be a real good night.
The interesting thing is that if it does end tonight, you know, of course, we have the Giant game on Sunday. There's the Jet game Monday night. Next week, you got the Knicks opening game in Boston on Tuesday. I mean, there's a lot of things that are transitioning here.
Certainly. And
we're in a transition process.
Right? I mean, you also, you know, if it ended tonight, you also have a real possibility of a Yankees-Dodgers World Series, which would be humongous. As much as it would pain the Mets fan to not be in that World Series, that's a huge World Series.
What do you think baseball would want more? Dodgers, Yankees, Mets, Yankees, Cleveland, Dodgers? What do you think?
Dodgers, Yankees.
More so than Mets, Yankees?
Yeah. Man, definitely.
That's Shohei Ohtani, man.
Yeah,
I
know.
That's what I was saying. Subway Series, though, doesn't Ohtani happen. And Aaron Judge, are you kidding me? That's what you want?
I would think so, too. But I also know Mets, Yankees is special in terms of it doesn't happen very often at all.
Yeah, I don't think anybody outside of New York really cares about the Subway Series.
I agree with that.
So the Dodgers. I think if they could pick anything at the beginning of the season, it would always be Dodgers Yankees.
If you want the two biggest stars in baseball on the biggest stage, then it's Dodgers Yankees. It's Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. And then the I don't want to say bit pieces because they're more than that. You got the great Mookie Betts. You got the great Juan Soto.
All right, we got to stop. I got to stop it down. It's clear I could talk about the Dodgers in the World Series. We got a game. We got a game tonight.
Okay.
You got a game.
All right.
There's a chance the Mets win. Then you got Manaea, bullpen game. Then you got a game seven. Anything happens.
Hey, you've laid out the path.
There's a path.
Win tonight.
Yeah, let's just.
That's the path.
Right. Just
one pitch, one at bat,
right.
One inning.
Right. That's it. That's all. You know,
David Pace, you say to yourself, 21 outs. Just give me 21 outs.
Sure. Well, in this case, you need 27.
Yeah, 21 Peterson. I'm saying for the starting
pitch. No, I know, but we want, how about 27? How about he goes the complete game?
Well, that's not going to happen, Jerry. Come on. We know that. I mean, he's probably going to have 30 pitches after the first inning.
That is a problem these days.
Stop. You got to catch yourself.
We got a game tonight.
Yes.
And we're going to have fun. It's going to be good. No matter what happens, it's going to be good.
It's a mom and me tonight.
I'm jealous, actually. It'll be good. Okay. There was something else I wanted to tell Jerry.
What I do.
It's gone now.
Okay.
This has happened to me. It's the lack of sleep, man.
Mm.
Twice.
Gets us all.
Twice. Oh, you know what? That is something I did want to bring up earlier. So I did find out it's the producer of that show, Keith Britton, who listens to you guys going in. It's not Ken Carmen. Okay. And he sends the audio to Ken, hoping that he stirs the pot. And he does it with all sorts of different shows.
Great.
So that's where that came from.
Don't care. I'm sorry.
Nicely produced.
All right, Jerry, let's get to the update.
We're brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. So you're talking about one more game tonight. This is the game. I will tell you that there's a message Frank the Tank has for the Mets, and it's a kind of a good message because it will take on the track you want them to go on.
There's one thing left for the Mets. All the heart they showed this year, all the spirit they showed this year, 0-5, 11 games under, rock bottom. There's one thing left for the Mets. Don't let these motherfuckers celebrate on City Field.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
That's it. Don't win the game.
That is a very simplistic.
Yes, it is.
Very succinct, and I like it.
Yeah, I mean,
like it.
The problem is I've said that multiple times. Over the years.
Yeah, but Frank the Tank hadn't been involved in those other things.
Oh, yes, he was. Oh. He's older than me, and we didn't know who he was or where he was, but he was doing it.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I like it. That's the simple thing. You walk into the Met locker room today, you look at the guys, and you go, we're not letting these mother...
Oh!
That's
all right, wait a minute. He says mutter, though.
Mutter
effers.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, so that's the deal. Here was Carlos Mendoza after the loss last night. Just very impressed by the Dodgers. They put up 10 runs on the night. They win 10-2, and their three wins. They've won 9-0, 8-0, and 10-2.
You got to give them credit because that's a really good lineup, and they can do a lot of different things. You know, this is a team that controls the strike zone as well as anybody in the league, and not only they do that, but when they force you in the zone, they can do some damage.
And they have been doing damage. A lot done off of Jose Quintana last night. This is just a bad night across the board.
You know, it was a tough night for us. And you saw we need more forward, you know, turn a page and come back strong tomorrow.
Now, while the Dodgers are scoring a lot of runs, aside from the one game where the Mets got after the Dodger bullpen, they haven't scored. Matter of fact, they've scored very little. Francisco Lindor knows that's a problem.
You got to execute when people are on base and help your pitching staff. So, you know, we just got to continue to grind our bats and have some timely hitting.
Here's Pete Alonso, who says we may be down 3-1, but we aren't dead just yet.
We've answered the bell at every step of the way, and we need to do the same, especially tomorrow and every game moving forward.
So, all right, the Mets are in survival mode. For the Dodgers, they are one win away from the World Series. Manager Dave Roberts.
It feels good. I think that we've done a good job putting ourselves in this position. I sort of like the us against the world attitude that our guys are sort of taking on. I think that's kind of ironic,
what?
You know, with the Dodgers. But I like that.
I didn't know there was an us against the world or that was needed for
us. Yeah, they talked about that on, I think, game one or game two in L.A.
But what? Because they have a gazillion-dollar payroll and no one wants to see the team that buys everybody win? Is that where it comes from?
I don't know. You could say the same thing about the other two out of the other three teams, the Yankees and the Mets.
Those are
the three highest paid teams.
No, but the Mets, it's different.
I agree.
It's not the same thing at all. There's a bunch of guys that are not playing for them.
So these guys are scrappy.
Well, yeah.
The Mets are scrappy. So,
but look, you go through the lineup, and the guys who have contributed, obviously Lindor and Nimmo get paid. But a lot of them, like Manaea and Severino, not making a lot of money.
Iglesias, not making a lot of money.
Vientos, not making a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, Pete Alonso got a decent salary through arbitration, but it's just...
The problem with them is the dead money they're paying out.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's the biggest thing, is the Scherzer and Verlander.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is Cano still on the books? He might be.
He could be. I wouldn't be shocked if he is.
He's not, but James McCann is what Fleek says.
James McCann still is?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Anyhow, Game 5 tonight, David Peterson, Jack Flaherty, the matchup there. For the Yankees, run through this one more time. The Aaron Judge game-tying home run, as heard on the Fan with John Sterling.
And the 1-2, swung on and drilled to right field. That ball is going to be gone. It was a line drive, and it went over the right field fence. It's a Judgian blast.
Tied the game.
Here comes the Judge.
3-3 in the eighth inning when the Yankees were pretty close to losing this game. Then Giancarlo Stanton put him in front.
1-2. Swung on and hit in the air to center field and deep. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Stanton and Judge have hit home runs, a back-to-back and a belly-to-belly.
And so it was 4-3 the Yankees in the eighth inning. In the ninth inning, they would get one more, and you felt pretty damn good, up 5-3. The problem, the Guardians had one more trick up their sleeve.
It swung on, and here goes. Deep left field, it is high. It is far. It is gone to tie the game. Well, what a game. What a game.
Well done, Jonsky. That was John again on the Fan. That tied it. There were two outs in the last inning, and it comes off of Luke Weaver, then Clay Holmes on in the 10th, facing David Fry.
Pitch. Swing on a high fly to deep left. Verdugo back on the track at the wall. She's gone. A two-run home run to win the game for Cleveland.
Well is right. So 7-5 the final. They jump back into the series because they were that close to being down 3-0. You've got game 4 tonight. Luis Gil taking on Gavin Williams. I'll just give you one before we move on to what we got. This was Luke Weaver. He knows he obviously blew the save, but you got to have a short memory.
It's baseball. Things like that happen. A twist of an arm, and it just feels a little devastating. But at the end of the day, like you said, you got to bounce back. We're still in a good position.
And we will have game 4 on the Fan tonight, 8:08 first pitch.
Did you know his great aunt Sigourney Weaver?
I didn't know. No, I
just made that up.
It could be. Yeah, so. Who knows? She's related to Jeff Weaver.
No, I did look that up, too. No, his parent. I don't know if he's related, but his dad's not Jeff Weaver. At least know that much.
Distant relative, Jeff and Sigourney.
Yeah, probably.
You never know. Sigourney could be Jeff's mom.
Earl Weaver.
That's a good one, too.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the old Meat Cleaver Weaver?
Meat Cleaver Weaver?
Yeah.
What about... no, that's Warp
Cleaver. I know Dream Weaver.
Dream Weaver.
Dream Weaver, yeah.
There's
an Anthony Meat Cleaver Weaver, I think, in the NFL,
if
I remember correctly. Yes. Played for the Browns, I want to say.
Oh, my God.
So you got me into the Cleavers now, Ward and June.
Cleaver's different than Weavers, though.
Leave it to Beaver.
Weaver.
Cleaver and Beaver. All right, the Broncos beat the Saints on Thursday Night Football, 33-10. Where is the Beaver? Javonte Williams, 80 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Beaver.
The Broncos are 4-3.
What was his name? Meat Cleaver Beaver?
No, Meat Cleaver Weaver. Anthony Meat Cleaver Weaver, I think.
All right, that's why I was thinking of Beaver Cleaver and then Warden June.
Mm. Are you Eddie Meat Cleaver Weaver.
See, that's funny. Eddie was in that show, too.
Was a former Georgia lineman. He died at 47 years old.
Dun, 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 dun. It's Leave It to Beaver. Starring the Beaver. With Hugh Beaumont.
Oh, God almighty.
All right, moment of the day, because we got to do NFL picks,
yes,
right?
Yes.
All right, moment of the day is brought to you by the family of Casamigos Tequilas. Añejo Blanco, Cristalino Reposado Mezcal, and the new Casamigos Jalapeno. Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it, reminding you to enjoy each moment of your day responsibly. I used to love Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah, I get it. All
very
right.
good show.
I get it. You're stuck on this.
After I was asking Boomer about what streaming service the Rangers game was on, Gio had a thought.
How more ridiculous can these streaming services be named? You know, like Hulu and Peacock and Roku. Like one day you just could be like, hey, you could watch the Rangers Islanders game on Schnurf. You know?
No, that would be the guy from Sports Act.
Right. Exactly. And the Mets tonight on. It's so stupid, the names of these things.
And there's too many of them. There really are. There's too many of them.
You know, at the end of the day, you know, we're all paying for something.
I like Snurf.
Right? Snurfle.
What is it on? Is it on Hulu? Is it on Max? Is it on Netflix? Or is it on Snurf? I think Snurf, it's a Snurf game, right?
We're not far from it, that is for sure. Moment
and,
of...
Boo-boo-bee-ba-ba-ba-boo-bee.
Andrew Marchand tweets out, the Schnurf and Al Michaels have reached a deal to call NFL games in 2031. And they've already signed Noah Eagles' unborn child. Schnurf really going for it. Corner in the market. All right, Jerry, we'll see you in a couple minutes with the picks.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
The Boomer and Geo Friday football picks are brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of WFAN. All right. A losing week for all three of us again. I have now dipped two games below 500, but I am still on a streak here. I was first place all last regular season, first place this regular season, but is nothing to crow about or be happy about because I'm under 500, and I can't pick these games to save my ass just like everybody here. So the record, CBS Sports Network, you throw it up there very quickly.
No, please
don't. We can see if you'd like to. There we go. So 14 and 16, me in first place. Boomer is now two games behind me. Or I guess he remains two games behind me at 12 and 18. And Jerry is three games behind me at 11 and 19. So we suck at this. So, Jerry, let's see how bad we could do this week.
All right, let's suck at the Texans and the Packers. Green Bay minus 2.5 at Lambeau.
Yo, I love what the Packers have been doing, man. They are a young, aggressive team. Xavier McKinney has been doing a great job in secondary there. He's got five interceptions. This is a team that I think is on the rise, the Packers. And I love the Texans, too, but I think going to Lambeau Field, a little different story for them. I will take the Packers, and I will lay the points.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Packers as well. Home game for them. They have been heating up. As you mentioned, ever since that second half against the Minnesota Vikings where they almost came back, they looked like a different football team. And by the way, Bryant McKinney, part of that Love Boat scandal there at the Minnesota Vikings and the whores on Lake Minnetonka.
Okay.
Next game?
Well, I'll also go across the board with the suckage. I'll take the Packers as well, minus 2.5. All right, next game. This one is near and dear to you. It's a big one. This is the Lions on the road in Minnesota. The Vikings favored by 1.5.
Wow. I'm going to take the Vikes here. Coming off of a bye, I don't like the fact that the Lions lost Aiden Hutchinson. I still think the Lions and the Vikings are going to probably see each other again, maybe in the playoffs. That's where I think, you know, other than their second, you know, when they see each other again in Detroit, right? Mm-hmm. So, to me, you got to win your home games in your division. And with the loss of Aiden Hutchinson, that is huge for the Lions and really huge for the Vikings. I'm taking the Vikings here to beat the Lions at home.
Ben Johnson against Brian Flores.
Yep.
That's going to be this game. You'll know right away if the Lions are going to win because they're going to try to run the ball. And if the Vikings can't stop that run, they're dead. But I think that they will. I think that Brian Flores will beat Ben Johnson head-to-head in this situation. And I do like the Vikings at home, and this would be a huge win, man. This is you can't take away 6-0 and then beating the Lions. It would put them in a different stratosphere. So I'm going to go with them. I'm going to take the Vikings as well.
I like the Vikings a lot. I do, but I'm going to take the Lions because my first thought was Detroit's the better team in this matchup. We'll see. I'm taking Detroit plus the 1.5. Game number 3. Oh, we remember this game. Chiefs and Niners. This time it's in Santa Clara. San Francisco minus 1.5.
Am I going to take 3 home favorites in a row? Am I going to do it? Am I going to do it?
No, because you love Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, but I also love Brock Purdy.
Oh.
The little guy that can. The little guy that will. A little revenge spot here for the 49ers. I know you guys love revenge spots. The 49ers, you know, they need to win this game. They need to stay, you know, at the top of their division, and I think they'll get it done this week. I'm going to take the 49ers, and the Chiefs finally lose their first game.
Yeah, I can't wait to see how this one ends, right, Al? Between the Chiefs and the Niners.
You know, when these two get together, you never know.
You never know. I'm agreeing with you again. I'm agreeing with you again, which I hate, but I'm not going to change just because you're picking a certain way. Here's what swayed me. The number one bet team this week by the Vegas sportsbooks, the Kansas City Chiefs. So that means I'm going the other way. Give me the 49ers.
I was going to take the Chiefs until you just said that. Now I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to take the Chiefs plus the 1.5. I'll stick with Patrick Mahomes. The Niners a little banged up. I'll take KC. All right, the two local games, Eagles, Giants at 1 o'clock Sunday. The Giants plus 3.
Eagles are on a win-loss, win-loss, win-loss kind of run.
They won last week.
So that means they're going to lose this week, you think?
I don't know.
Elite neighbors, Giants at home. They don't score touchdowns. I'm going Eagles.
And once again, we'll be calling this game for Compass Media Networks. I'm so excited about that. KMOX, you could probably find that on the Odyssey app and stream us. And Jerry be doing the play-by-play, Boomer and Phil in the booth, and I'll be on the sidelines. So very excited for this. Excited to see A.J. Brown up close. Malik Nabers up close. I feel the same way about this game as I did when the Giants met the Cowboys. Regardless of what is going on between these franchises, the Giants have to beat the Eagles for me to believe that they can beat the Eagles. So I'm taking the Eagles.
I'm going to go a scoreless game, calling it. Going to go right down the middle. It's going to go to overtime. No touchdowns. 0-0. So I guess the Giants plus the 3. I don't know. Jets Steelers. Sunday night football. The Steelers plus 1.5. That line changed when the Jets got Devontae Adams. They went from the favorite to now the underdog. Anybody?
Yeah. Jets have been close. The defense has played well. Kept them tight in games. Thing I worry about in this game is something that Gio has been talking about now for 6 weeks, and that is Aaron Rodgers and his health. They will get after his ass in this game. I think Devontae Adams does have an impact in this game. I don't think it's going to be a 15 catch impact, but he'll definitely have an impact in this game. And I think this is the Jets season. I really do. I think this is where they begin their run, as Al has said. I'm going with the Jets.
I really hope that the Jets win and then get back to 4-4 and give us something, at least in New York football, but I'm not going to pick them. They're a mess. They're just a mess. And why would I pick this team until I see them start doing something positive? So, yeah, you project ahead, and maybe this is the week, but I'm not going to do it. Be fired up. That crowd's going to be going crazy. They're going to be flying around on defense, and the quarterback is ancient. So give me the Steelers.
I'm taking the Jets because the Steelers kick field goals, and a lot of them. And I think the Jets get in the end zone this weekend, and their defense will dominate. I got the Jets.
All right. The Boomer and Geo Friday football picks are brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of WFAN.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.